last week we started a new series on me and my big fat mouth. And the general idea is just recognizing how important our words are and how much we can bless or hurt someone with our words and how it's happening all day, every day. Talked about how you could make someone's day with your words, or you could really ruin someone's day with your words. You could sing a baby to sleep, or you could call an army to war. When we wanted to become our own country, we signed a Declaration of Independence. It was words, and everything we do, and every day we spend our day communicating. We have the Word of God that God used to communicate who He is to us, and just our words are so important. And so last week we talked about complaining, and we said basically that if you've ever known a man of God or a woman of God, I could probably 100% guarantee that they were not a complainer. You know, complainers do not make men and women of God. And this week we're going to up the ante a little bit. We're going to talk about criticizing. While complaining is sort of like woe is me or belly aching or something, criticizing is more like personal attacks with words. If you've ever been criticized, sometimes just the soul-crushing pain that causes. You know, someone steps on your dreams or someone steps on who you are personally, a personal attack, it's not something usually that leaves quickly. Usually it stings for a while. And there are different reasons people criticize. Sometimes they think they're being helpful, and sometimes they're just trying to injure you on purpose. And so today we're not talking about, there is a thing called constructive criticism. That's when someone does have good intentions and then deliver it in a way that's meant to help you. That's constructive criticism, but that's not what we're talking about today. We want to talk about using our words sometimes when it comes out negatively, more like destructive criticism, you might say. And so if you've ever been criticized, you've ever had a friend who is extra critical about all things, you probably have heard or made comments yourself about how someone drives or how they spend their money or how they talk or how they chew their food or how they take care of their house or mow their lawn or what they do on Facebook or how they work at work, on and on and on. People find endless amount of things to criticize others about, and all it is tearing people down. We might criticize someone in their family. We might criticize the culture at large and sort of really demean our community or our country. We might criticize people that we see in the news that we don't even know. We might criticize the government. Often, here's the thing, often people do not realize how critical they are because they feel justified in their criticism. They feel like that person doesn't see what's wrong, and so it's on me now to make sure they know and never do it again, right? And they feel like, I am now in this place of responsibility to sting you once so you learn your lesson. I confess, I used to be this is a form of criticism, I would say. I used to be like a no-honker, you know what I'm saying? Like when you're driving, you got the horn, right? And someone would do something terrible, and I would just be like, oh, Lord God, help us all get there safely. But then, I don't know what it was. It was like the same guy in our neighborhood kept making the same thing. We had this dangerous intersection where we used to live. And so I'm like, that guy never learns. And so one time he pulled out in front of me, and so I just laid on the horn, you know? And I don't know whatever happened that day inside of me, but I just became a horn honker from then on. I'm like, these guys never going to learn. Like, it's up to me to be a honker. Otherwise, people aren't going to learn. They're just going to keep being rude. And I kid you not, I wore out the horn on my car. That is the honest truth. Like the horn, like I thought, oh, maybe the fuse blew or something. The mechanic was like, well, the horn wore out. This happens sometimes. I'm like, you mean it happens to jerks is what you mean. You're talking about me. So that's a critical spirit. You know, sometimes you just don't realize, like, how did I get here? You know, I've become critical. I didn't even think that I was like that. Well, if you'd like to follow along, because we're kind of topical today, we're going to jump around a little bit, but if you would like a great Bible verse, Our first one is the one for the week, and it is Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 says this. It says, you know, basically the whole law, Galatians 5, starting in verse 14, basically the whole law can be summed up in this one command. And so, before I go on, I want to let you know what I heard another preacher preaching this verse. He said this, and he totally caught me. He says, you know what? I bet a lot of you know this verse by heart, but I bet many of you have no idea what comes right after this verse. And I thought, I love challenges like this. I bet I know. And I did not know. Okay. Galatians 5:14 starts off like this. The whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, that's how it starts. And everyone pretty much knows that. But here's what directly follows that. Next verse, 15. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So what Paul's doing there when he's writing to his friends in Galatia, he is saying, he's given them the positive side and the negative side. He's given them both sides of the coin. He does this a lot. He is an educated man. He's pretty good at explaining things, and he's fairly thorough. If you've ever tried to read the book of Romans, you're like, this is a really long letter. That's Paul. So he likes to explain things fully, and he does that here. It's kind of nice. He's saying, on the one hand, listen, I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. Love that other person you saw. Treat them like you would treat yourself. Like, you honk your horn at them. Would you do that to yourself? You know, you criticized about how they're dressing today or about how they're working. Would you like if they talked like that about you? Treat them as yourself. On the flip side, it's like my friends in Galatia. On the flip side, man, watch out. Be careful. When you guys are criticizing each other, when you're biting and just devouring one another, you're going to destroy your family. You're going to destroy your church. You're going to destroy your environment where you work or at school. You're doing it to yourself. You're going to hurt your own self. And you know, a church can be destroyed just by talking. You know, people get upset and leave for silly reasons just because someone is critical. Sadly, I was in a church office one time a few years ago, and a person who had been there for years and years, long before I ever got there, they were one of those church people that, like, they probably founded the church. I don't know. They've been there forever, right? They were like a senior saint. They're probably a lifetime giver. But they were for sure they were a long-time criticizer. They sat in the back row, and the one thing I remember that hurt me the most was my very best friends were the worship leaders in that church. And I loved them to death. And this criticizer was from the traditional church, and the worship leaders were kind of like introducing new songs, right? And there's a difference in style, and the older lady did not appreciate it. And she criticized every week. And in a sense, she felt like she had this responsibility. She's been here forever, and she's concerned that maybe the church is going in a direction that she didn't like. So she took it upon herself to voice that in a way that was biting and devouring. Well, one day in the middle of the week, I don't know how I was at the church in the middle of the week because I had a job. Something happened. Anyway, I was in the church in the middle of the week in the church office, and I'm never there. And I was there that day, and she just happened to come in. And it was like she started criticizing right before she walked in the door. She started talking. As she turned in, she thought she was going to start and like burn this person with her words to the secretary. But I was standing there too. She walks in like, oh, and she was in the middle of just tearing that person down. And all I said was like something like, if you're going to talk that way about them, I don't want to be in here because we don't do that. And they left the church. I mean, that was a hard thing, you know, but I kind of felt like if that had to happen, She was destroying with her words, just words. She was destroying our church, in the community of people who are saved by grace and God's love, you know. And I think she didn't leave because I, you know, was mean to her. I think she left because she was ashamed. She knew it was wrong. And basically someone called her on it. But it really hurt. It can hurt lots of people. Our words are so, so important. You know, what if your mouth was destroying the intimacy in your marriage, you know? If you're continually cutting on your spouse just with these little things that we say sometimes, just the little things, if you keep on that constant flow of cutting, you know, what if you're tearing down the intimacy, the closeness that you have with that person? What if your words are building up the walls between you and your kids, you know? What if that person at school is kind of annoying, so you kind of let them know, and, you know, mostly they're probably just lonely, and now you alienate them with your words? You know, what if the person at work, what if your words, you know, they were already maybe they're not a great worker, but maybe now the office environment is different just because of your words. Beware of destroying one another. Watch out. Love how it says watch out. It's kind of like the surprise, you know? It's like, you didn't see it coming. Like, I didn't realize how ashamed I was that I wore out my horn. You know, watch out. It's kind of like a blind spot. I didn't realize, how did I get here from there? You know? And sometimes we just need, by way of reminder, being called back to God's way of doing things. Proverbs 12:18 says this. It says, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of a wise person brings healing. You know, our generation these days, we kind of almost honor when someone uses sarcasm, right? It's kind of almost popular, really. And sarcasm is fun sometimes because it's funny. But sometimes we use sarcasm as a cutting way, as cutting words. It's kind of like you're in the car with someone and they, you know, they don't drive like you drive. And it's, and just that simple little comment, ah, the new and improved way of changing lanes. Nice, you know? Like, in a way, it's like, ha-ha, but really, you're cutting down your friend. And in a world of sarcasm, we just need to be cautious sometimes. That are we using it to build up? Ha-ha, let's have fun together. Or has it become acceptable just to be critical all the time with our sarcasm? You know, we're not like anti-sarcasm or anything. It's just a form of speech. We just need to be careful about how we treat those that are close to us. So in the Bible, you know, the truth about criticizing is when we find fault in others. We find fault in others and we point it out. We take it upon ourselves to point it out to others. Now, who is the pinnacle of fault finding in the Bible? Anybody know? Short quiz. Who would you say? Other than the devil, the Pharisees, right? They would stand on the street and they had all their laws that they added to the Bible. They had God's law originally, right? And they added on all these like buffer laws so that you couldn't even like risk breaking the real law. And it wasn't God's way. It wasn't God's law. So they added them on, right? All these rules, rules and rules and rules. And then they would stand in the street in their nice robes and in all their glory and honor. And they would call out all the wrong things, why people are breaking the law. Oh, you're traveling too far on the Sabbath. How dare you do that? Oh, you're breaking this law. You're breaking that law. You're mixing your fabrics, all these other things. They would call it out. And they think they're reminding the people of God's ways, but really they're just criticizing with their own rules. And there's no one that Jesus corrected and rebuked more than the Pharisees, who are cutting down people all the time. Jesus said stuff like this. He said, you Pharisees, you'll like cross a mountain to make a convert. And then after that, you make him twice the son of the devil as you are, right? He would say stuff like, man, you do all these great things, right? And then you would just make someone so criticizing just like you are, right? You just spend so much energy. He's like, you should have spent more energy on the good things and less on the bad things. You should build up and not tear down as much. And so it's kind of like they're on their tearing down path and they ran into sort of a buzzsaw there. Jesus would knock them right off their horse. The other person in the Bible who is known to be a fault finder. One of his official titles in the Bible is the accuser. That's the devil. Right? And we read in God's word how kind of like in the court case of heaven, your accuser is going to be the devil. We think like, oh, God's going to be judging me. God is going to judge us righteously, right? But in a sense, the devil is going to be the accuser. We see an example in Job, right? So Job's out like living the best he can, right? And devil makes his case. He goes, Lord, oh yeah, you think Job's so awesome? That's because you're blessing him. Like, let me take a whack. And he's always trying to cut him down. He says he's like a roaring lion, just looking for someone to devour with his words, or trip him up, or tempt you. And generally the temptation is like this. It's like, hey, it'd be awesome if you did that, right? You know what? You deserve to do that. You know, why don't you? One time isn't going to matter. And the devil will tempt and tempt and tempt. But then as soon as you do it, what's next? Shame, right? You messed up. You did that. You call yourself a Christian, right? It's shame. It's a setup, the devil. And so when we find fault, it's almost like, man, I do not want to join the ranks of the Pharisees and the enemy. Finding fault is generally what the bad do and never what the good do. Fault finders. I have a friend who's a Christian friend, and I love him. He's a man of God, and he did a very hard thing. He started off his career. He decided to do it differently than most other people that were around him, okay? And so he started off his career kind of like, he kind of had to defend what he was doing, right? I'm going to do things my way, and he did excellent work, and eventually he was successful. And here it comes. He probably didn't see it coming. Because he spent a lot of time defending his way, like, just wait and see. I'm doing it for a reason. Wait and see. Because he was spent a lot of time defending, he probably didn't realize that after his way became successful and he did great, that his defense turned into criticism of others. And now he just so naturally criticizes others who don't do it like him. It's just, there's some sort of natural progression. And now it's like, sometimes it's like, man, I don't even want to have coffee with you. It's like, I love you, man, but I just know if something comes up, you're just going to tear that guy down, and you're going to tear that lady down. And man, it's not good. It's not good, brother. But it's just so easy. It's so easy. That's like the bad news, right? So that's the bad news. Ephesians says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it might benefit those who listen. So the truth is, we could be a fault finder, or we could be a life builder. A life builder. So we kind of talked about, it's like, I'm criticizing. It's like how we started off the sermon here today. Criticizing is bad, right? Here's the good side. Here's the flip side, the good side of our words. Yes, while we have the power to criticize and tear people down and be fault finders, we also have the very same power to be life builders. Romans says it this way. Paul said to the Romans, like, may the God of hope, listen to the words he wants to impart into his friends in Rome. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul, who he had not even met these people yet, he's coming to see him someday. He's already building them up, right? And Rome, which was where the big bad guys live, right? Rome controlled everything, right? They had taken over the government. They were sort of ruling all of Paul's people in Rome. Paul still built up the believers in Rome. He hasn't even been there yet. He's like, I'm just going to start blessing you and encouraging you in the Lord. This is how he wanted to treat other people who Jesus already died for, right? Every time we talk to someone, whether good or bad, we're talking to someone who Jesus died for. Here's how he closed his letter to the Corinthians. The Corinthians, which were the orneriest church in the Bible, by a long shot. Paul's letters were basically like, hey, dear Corinthians, love you guys. Knock this off, knock that off, knock that off. Love you, Paul. That's basically his letters to the Corinthians. But even when he had like a lot of responsible correcting to do, this is how he closed 2 Corinthians. Be joyful, grow in maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace, and then the God of love and peace will be with you, right? He made it a point, even while people were being stinkers, to reach out and be an encouragement to them. I remember I was a kind of a brand new Christian one time, and I was in college. It was my first year of college, and it's kind of like learning on my own a little bit. Reading the Bible, didn't really have that many Christian friends yet. It's kind of like a new thing for me, and I'm just pouring over my Bible, like connecting with new people, like and just growing in the Lord. And I go back home for a weekend to my home church, my family, visit a little bit, and my old Sunday school teacher, back then we had Sunday school in the mornings before church, and so my high school Sunday school teacher was like, hey, I'm excited about how you're growing in the Lord and what's going on. Hey, you know what? Would you be willing to come back maybe like in a month and teach the high school Sunday school class one time? And I had never led anything. I'd never done anything. I was like, you know, I didn't really know what I was talking about yet. But I said, okay, sure. And I was like so nervous, right? And it's like that first time you lead something, I'm like studying. I had like probably like 5 pages of notes for about, you know, 20 minutes of actual Sunday school time, right? And so I get in there. It's like my first time ever leading anything. So rookie. And I just pour my heart out to these guys who are only like 1 or 2 years younger than me. And I get to the end, and we like pray, and we leave. And the people that didn't really want to be there anyway, they're like, see ya, right? They just like couldn't wait to tear out of there. Because here comes this like passionate guy slobbering all over the table, right? And I thought, oh, I blew it. I overdid it. You know, I'm such a rookie. I feel stupid, you know, and those guys, you could just tell they're just waiting to get out of there. And I just felt, you know, I just felt dumb. And they only said a couple little things, but it really hurt. But those guys move on. And this one guy stayed after class and he said, that was awesome. I said, well, I kind of messed up this thing and I messed up that thing. He's like, I don't even notice that. He's like, it just, you know, he's like, I've just been looking for someone who's passionate like I'm passionate. He's like, and I feel like I'm alone in my faith. It was just life-giving for someone to care that much. And I don't even know what the rest he said. I just remember thinking like, oh, it mattered. It was just like 5 people complained, 1 person built up, and probably the complaining was healthy in a little bit, like, yeah, I do need to improve. But that one person that used his words to build up, he just totally skimmed over the bad stuff. That probably fueled my fire for a year. All right. And all the times that I continued then to build into others, it's because that one person was willing to do like Paul said, where he said, you know what? Only say what is helpful for building up according to their needs. It's like he spoke directly into my need in that moment so that it would benefit those that hear you. He's like, be someone who speaks into others. And you can tell when someone is hurting, especially right after another person criticizes. You know, they're standing there with the holes poked in their soul and just bleeding out, right? And for anyone just to sweep in and be like, you know what? I noticed a little bit of that, but here's the good thing I noticed. And build them up, man, you will change their day 10 times more than the criticizers will. You will build life into them. You could change the course of their life. My story was like 20 years ago, right? And I remember that. Think about all the people that might remember what you have to say today and tomorrow. You could be a life builder instead of a fault finder. I had this teacher in 5th grade, and you're a kid, it's like kind of finding your way. I was kind of smart, but I was just a talker. I feel bad because my kid is a talker. My sons are a talker. I feel like he's going to be like this in school. And I just would not focus, and I was just like all over the place. Well, anyway, this teacher who was like, she was really just had, she was always trying to like encourage people and like and get them like moving on their way and help them in their education. Well, she pulled six of us out of class. She said, are you guys, it was some sort of math class. She's like, you guys, you're doing pretty good. What I'm going to do is I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put you in this classroom by yourself over here next to us and close the door. And like these are fifth graders. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to give you this math book. And I want you to work ahead for a week. And then at the end of the week, do these exercises and bring it to me. And I want to let you guys go at double the pace that the rest of the class is. And so I'm like, all right, unsupervised time, right? And so we did our thing. I messed around most of the time, but somehow I got the work done. And after about half a year of that, we got to the end of the year, and she's like, you know what? You guys, we kind of made some messes and stuff, but you did great. Here's what I'm going to have all of you six. You're just going to skip the next grade in math. I want you to start junior high math next year. And it was like, the other five people in the room, they totally deserved it. I totally didn't. So anyway, I get to the end of high school. I'm about ready to graduate high school. And I'm on the way to college. I've got now this math thing that I did in high school that I was kind of proud of. It's kind of like a nice little resume builder for the college application stuff. It's kind of like math sort of became my thing. It's like, it's not how I started. Anyway, I'm thinking about this, and I'm sitting in some math class I should have been paying attention in. Anyway, instead of doing that day, I wrote this letter to that teacher. And I wrote this, it was like probably a page and a half. And it just said something like this. I said, hey, I don't know if you remember, but like 6 years ago, 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, you did this thing, and I don't know what you saw in me. But I want to tell you what's happened since then. And I totally didn't deserve it. And now I've done this and I got this and now I'm on my way and I plan to do this with computers and stuff because of math. And I just, and so I thought I should just really thank her. So I go and I go down to her class and I thought I'm going to deliver this letter. And it was like a special day and no one was there. I'm like, oh, well, I'll just leave it on her desk. And I left and I didn't see her until graduation that year. I didn't see her for like 5 months. And at the graduation line, she's coming through, high school graduation line, after you graduate, and like all the kids line up, like this long, you know. And so she comes by, and she says, I got your letter. She's like, you don't know what that means for a teacher, okay? And so she was a blessed her, right? It blessed her. I go on to college, another 4 years. I move to Georgia, another like 3 or 4 or 5 years, okay? I come back and I see her one day over at Lake St. Mary's. It's like 10 years later. Now since the letter, it's been like 15 years. And I see her, I'm walking by the lake there and she's got a little house over there. She's like, Scotty, this is what she says first thing. I still have the letter, right? I mean, it filled her soul. And all it was like one piece of paper. And how much difference your words can make to someone in your life. Only use your words for what is helpful and building up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You could be a fault finder or you could be a life builder. You know, the Pharisees accused. There was the woman who was caught in adultery, and I just love it. It's a famous story, right? They caught the woman in adultery. She's totally guilty. Totally guilty. They bring her to Jesus. They're trying to like catch him, right? They're like, hey, the law says we should stone her to death. How does Jesus react? Okay, you're on trial, Jesus, in front of everyone. Jesus, it's your turn to be a fault finder. And sometimes people are going to expect you to join in the fault finding. Sometimes when you totally have the right to. And Jesus totally had the right to. She totally broke the law. And he could have joined in, right? And instead it says he knelt down, he was writing something in the ground, and we don't know what he's writing, but a lot of scholars think because of the way the people reacted, he was writing other sins in the dirt, right? So it's like lying, taking more money than I should have, right? Being critical, maybe. And he's writing all these sins in the dirt. And so eventually, from the oldest and the wisest Pharisees down to the lowest scribes or whatever, they start walking away because they're ashamed. And then Jesus says, where are your accusers at? And he didn't gloss over the sin. He didn't say sin doesn't matter. He said, I don't condemn you either. I'm not going to be a fault finder either at this point. But go and sin no more. Don't do the bad, but I'm not going to beat you up about it. Right? And he sent her on his way. And he could have been a fault finder, but instead he was a life giver. He was her rescuer in that sense. Right? Like the woman caught in adultery, the Pharisees found fault, but Jesus offered hope. I'd like to close with this. The person I am the most critical of is, you know, because it's a blind spot and because the people closest to us, sometimes we think that over time they should just know what's right and wrong, and you guys have learned together how things work. Often we are the most critical to those that are closest to us. Right? And sometimes it's helpful just to take a moment and say, if I had to think about who I'm most critical of, even in the smallest ways, every week, who would that be? Who is that person that I've probably hurt with my words, even if they've taken it like a champ, even if they have a thick skin and they have lots of grace? Who am I most critical of? Who? And this week, I'm going to be a life builder for maybe that person. This week, I'm going to be intentional about building up and not cutting down. This week, I'm going to be intentional about when we're at that one place where this one thing happens, I'm not going to slide into my normal mode of being the criticizer, being the judge, being the news reporter that points out everything that's wrong. I'm not going to do that. Instead of, you know, whenever that one thing happens, I'm not going to bust them on it right away. Instead, I'm going to be a life builder. What is that one thing? Or what is that one place? You know, maybe the first step just needs to be, I don't need to listen to that radio show in the morning where everyone just criticizes everyone, right? Because they're teaching me to do that. I don't know. Whatever it is, how can we move from criticizing to being life builders, from fault finders to life builders this week? You know, anyone can be a fault finder. Pharisees and the devil did that. But to be intentional about building up life, that takes being intentional and living on purpose. So I wanted to provide a couple stories this morning. I hope that you identified with, like, I bet if you thought hard, I bet there's some times where you have been a life builder. And think about for a moment, when have you built someone up? Think about how maybe they're even still blessed even today because of your words. Would you stand and pray with me today? Let's stand. And the Bible says that while we were still sinners, that's when Jesus came. While we were still sinners, not after we cleaned up our act, but when we were still sinners, that's when Jesus came, because God loved us, to pay for our sins and save us. Jesus had every right to be a fault finder, but instead he came to be a life bringer. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word, and God, for words of life. Well, God, I pray that you would encourage us this week, every person here, Lord, that you would just remind us of your words about how we can be the light this week, and not be someone who tears down, and not be someone who criticizes. And well, God, I pray you remind us what it feels like to be on the receiving ends of criticizing words, and help us to choose every day to be a life builder and a life bringer, someone who builds up others, Lord. Like, everyone just keep their eyes closed for a minute. Just be in prayer to the Lord for a second. And if you've slipped into that mode of criticizing, it's like, I didn't even know how I got here. It's like my horn is wearing out. I didn't even realize I was going that direction. I feel like, man, my words are not what I want them to be. And you want to be a life builder. There's somewhere you want to change. You want God just to rush in and be part of a big change. Would you just slip up your hand right now? Amen, amen. I see those hands. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you. Just let that be just your commitment to the Lord right there. Thank you so much. Lord God, thank you, Lord, for your word. Pray that you bless these people, everyone here in this room. Lord God, I pray you come with love and peace and forgiveness and just be total encouragement this week. Lord, we thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for good life change and good life-bringing words this week. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.